Please be seated. This gospel reading comes as pure gift for me this week. It really does. Nicodemus is an interesting figure for many reasons, but today especially because he is beginning a journey of discipleship that will take him from a sort of infancy to full maturity. Nicodemus enters the story of the Gospel of John two more times after this encounter that we hear in today's gospel. In essence, Nicodemus shows up in these little cameo appearances that show us how disciples grow and mature as they come to know and trust God's love. Nicodemus approaches Jesus this first time under cover of darkness, not quite ready yet to be seen openly with Jesus. We know from the text that Nicodemus is one of those who have been drawn to Jesus because of the mighty works that Jesus has been doing around the countryside, feeding the hungry and healing those who suffer. We don't know why exactly Nicodemus comes to Jesus on this night, however. We don't know what in his life has opened his heart to draw near to Jesus, even under cover of darkness. I'm not even sure that this underlying motivation is clear to Nicodemus either. I suspect he was doing what many of us do. We're drawn to an image of God's love for the world, usually a living example of unquestioning love. We're drawn to God's love, and we begin to examine and question that love. Is it real? Is it really for me? How do I get it? What's the catch? Am I ready for that kind of love? Am I worthy? I hear some of those thoughts bound up in the question that Nicodemus asks. How can these things be? Jesus tells Nicodemus two things he needs in order to move from the dark of night into the light of day. First, it's necessary to be born from above to see the kingdom of God. And this idea of being born from above is often understood as a rebirth. Nicodemus is thinking very concretely here when he asks about climbing back into his mother's womb. But there's something deeper going on in John's gospel. There is always something deeper going on in John's gospel. Seeing the kingdom of God is what happens when we enter into the knowledge of God's love for the world and recognize our utter dependence upon that love. We are born from above into the family of God when that happens. The second thing Nicodemus needs to hear is that in order to enter the kingdom of God, we must be born of water and spirit. In John's gospel, both water and spirit are associated specifically with the person of Jesus. Next week, we will encounter the Samaritan woman at the well who will be told that Jesus himself is the living water that gushes up. It becomes a spring of water that is going to give eternal life. Now, for Nicodemus, later in the gospel narrative, when the religious leaders in Jerusalem debate about what to do with Jesus, that troublemaker who is causing them an amazing amount of anxiety, Nicodemus speaks up against doing him any harm. Now, Nicodemus doesn't quite come right out and declare that he's a follower of Jesus at this point. He just sort of casually points out the part of the law that says no one should be punished without a hearing. But even that small step brings Nicodemus a little bit further into the light. The third and final time we encounter Nicodemus in the gospel is after Jesus has been crucified and has died on the cross. As the body of Jesus is lowered from the cross, Nicodemus comes forward with an offering. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with spices in linen cloths, according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Those who laid Jesus there were Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, and the women who followed Jesus to the cross. This is a very public action. Nicodemus has moved from the cover of nighttime darkness into the light of day, acting openly as a follower of Jesus. Somewhere along the way, Nicodemus has been born from above. He is now part of the family of God. He's a disciple. Somewhere along the way, Nicodemus has been born by water and spirit. Nicodemus has experienced for himself God as love in the person of Jesus. What an amazing journey for Nicodemus, from confusion and fear to clarity and love. He has experienced for himself what Jesus meant when he said, "For God so loves the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Is there anyone else in this room who could use that word of God's love? I have needed it this week, and I got it. And I got not just a word, but a vision of God's love. Now, don't worry, I'm not getting woo-woo mystical on you here. There's a poster that hangs in my office. It's a print of a cartoon that was drawn by my dear friend, Father Josh Bowron. Some of you may remember him. He's the one who came and preached at my installation in October. In addition to being a good friend, a fine priest and teacher, Josh is a gifted cartoon artist. He used to draw cartoons of the gospel lessons for the kids each week at St. John's in Charlotte, where we serve together. One week, he drew this cartoon for this gospel lesson, for John 3:16 and 17. "For God so loves the world." And Jesus stands in this picture, cradling the world like a baby, a precious baby. And the expression on his face and the entire posture and every line of this drawing is an expression of God's love for the world. Sometimes I just sit and look at that print, and I'm moved and humbled by the love of God. God loves us not because of anything we do or who we are, but because of who God is. God's love is boundless. It encompasses each and every one of us. We are all held in that embrace when God holds the world in love. For God so loves the world that the only begotten Son was given in order that the whole world might be saved, might be healed, might be made whole. The whole world, not just our part of it, not just the North American continent, not the Western Hemisphere, not Cameroon or Mauritania, the Auckland Islands, the whole world and all that is in it. For God so loves the world, for God so loves you. God so loves me that the only begotten Son came to save, not to condemn, but to save. And to know that saving grace in our lives, we have to begin the journey of discipleship, coming to know God's love for us in Jesus, becoming part of God's family. To be part of the movement that invites people into the kingdom of God, we have to grow strong in love, strong enough to come out into the light of day as mature disciples, ready to do the hard work of living in community. And it is hard work some days. And we have much work to do, both for the hurting people and places in the world, and for building up the community that sustains that work. Like I said, neither of those things is easy. The kind of love that sustains the work we're called to is costly. It's costly. We'll be remembering just how costly that love is in weeks to come through the rest of Lent, and especially in Holy Week. Love. I had this song in my head earlier. Love hurts sometimes. It is costly. But fortunately, God holds us tenderly. Whenever we need to cry, God holds us. In those same arms of love that stretched out on the hardwood of the cross for us. And for the whole world, because God so loves the world.